Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
What the hell was that with Mark?
I don't know. We were doing it, and then Armin came in and had something to say about something.
He said,
really interesting, but I can't talk about it. But
if rumor had it that everyone was getting fired,
yeah,
would you keep your mouth shut until you got fired, or would you say something? Why can't the players have common sense as well? Talking about DT,
oh,
Emmanuel.
Okay, well, if I'm a 9-year player in the NFL. That's what Demaryius Thomas is, right? He's a 9-year player.
Correct.
Yeah. I should know how things work after 9 years in the NFL.
I think everyone understands that football is a business until it happens to you. And then suddenly, you are all butthurt about the situation. You shouldn't happen to other people.
Right.
But when it affects you, whoa, it was a business for that guy.
Right.
But for me, I'm loyal. I love you guys. Don't you love me back?
It's clear Vance Joseph is not the general manager of the Denver Broncos, Demaryius Stink. Now, see, I think Stink is thinking about himself a little bit, because I think that's natural that players think, well, what would I feel like in that scenario? When Mike Shanahan was here, Mike was like the general manager.
Mm-hmm.
You really could go to Mike and reasonably say, hey, you know, what's going on? Vance isn't like that, and DT should know the difference. What is the coach who has the amount of control and power that VJ has? What is he supposed to say? What is he supposed to say? Hey, are you thinking about trading me? You're VJ. What do you say? What are you supposed to say?
There's some talk about that upstairs, and we're talking to a couple different teams.
Dude, you don't say that.
Yes,
why
you
would
do.
He ever say that?
Because.
So DT's going to go and then blab about it, and that's going to be on Twitter face in about 15 seconds. You know that's what would happen. VJ was in an impossible situation. He said what he needed to say. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm cutting you off.
I've seen this done a number of different ways. And I've seen it where the ex-player walks away disgruntled because he was told three different things by three different people.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the player who's told things up front, maybe not, you know, give an advance warning, but once the cat is out of the bag, folks are willing to admit the cat is out of the bag. And this is what we're doing. We have no idea how it's going to work out. But for now, you are a Denver Bronco. We have a game to play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We got to practice in an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go out there and keep being professional and do what we do. We are professional football players. I'm a coach. I'm going to coach you until you're no longer here. You're going to play well and give me 100% effort until you're no longer here. This is how this whole thing works. In those circumstances, in my experience, the relationship and the post-breakup relationship was much better, as opposed to now there's two different stories. Both sides are telling, DT saying one thing in Houston, VJ saying one thing here. You could have just had this all up front.
Eh, that's the way it goes.
No,
you guys are, you are sensitive, you dudes.
Wait.
You guys are sensitive little flowers.
No one enjoys being told a mistruth. No one enjoys being told three different things from three different people. And I'm not saying that's what happened over there, but I have seen this happen in the past. And guys come in the locker room is like, well, I just talked to so-and-so and he said this. And I talked to so-and-so and he said that.
Mm-hmm.
What am I supposed to do? Who am I supposed to believe? That's some BS that's happening upstairs. They don't even know what they want to do. This team is run by a bunch of clowns. And just as opposed to, I talked to Jim.
I bet that doesn't happen when you're 6-2.
I talked to the head coach.
Yeah.
This is what they said.
Yeah.
I got to go with that.
Yeah.
They're clearly on the same page.
You can be naive if you want to be naive.
Me? Be naive?
No, those guys, DT, if they want to be naive and think that VJ has some sort of personnel power that he doesn't have, that everybody knows he doesn't have, if they want to just say, oh, I should go to him and ask him about these things, then, go ahead.
You should be open to go talk to the head coach about any concern.
I don't know. Maybe VJ should say, in those cases, hey, dude, this is just not my department. I'm trying to get you ready for Kansas City. Why don't you go have your agent talk to Elway? Maybe that's what he should have said.
That's a fine answer.
Yeah.
But if you've been involved,
fair enough,
VJ, in the discussions of that, and a player comes to you, not some second-year disgruntled dude saying, how come I'm not on the roster like we see in Hard Knocks? Mm-hmm. Not some crap like that. This is Demaryius Thomas. He is...
Yeah, but you know what's weird in that whole statement? Like, DT already had talked to his agent about it, and his agent had told him what was going on. And then VJ, then he went to talk to VJ, I guess. I don't know. The whole story seems convoluted.
Well, VJ came out and said, well, in the press conference, these are just rumors.
Right.
These are rumors. So now my agent says this thing. You're saying it's rumors. I just want to talk to you as a man and to hear what you have to say.
All right, here's VJ from today.
I think, I would say this about that. Number one, we have great respect for DT, and myself, John, and Zach, and all the guys who were included in that article, I guess you would say, or the conversation, have great respect for DT. So that's first. I think secondly, I'm disappointed, to read those things about how he recalls the conversations going. It was obviously a week and a half where the rumors and gossip was flowing, and we talked about the rumors and gossip, and until something happened, we all had to focus on doing our jobs and winning football games, and that was from my end, that was discussed. So I'm disappointed, how he remembers it. But again, we have great respect for DT. He was a great player here. We honored him on Sunday, and we didn't win the game. He won the game. So I think it's a little frustration on his part, but I'm disappointed of how it came out, because I don't recall it being discussed that way, and that's okay. And the last point, guys, we got to move on. He's got to move on. We have to move on. He's no longer a Bronco, and I can't spend any time worrying about that. But as far as reading the stuff, I'm disappointed. It was presented that way. I really am.
He's calling DT a liar right there.
Well, DT's, mischaracterizing what VJ thinks he said.
You know what? I actually believe VJ more than DT in this particular case.
To your point, your point about players being sensitive.
Yep.
Certainly. That is the case. And in those sensitive moments, can things be misheard and misconstrued? Mm-hmm. Certainly. And, none of us here in this studio have any idea what was actually said behind the scenes. But I think the maximum amount of clarity you as a head coach can provide, particularly to somebody with DT's tenure with the Broncos, is only going to help you and your standing in the locker room in the future.
Like, I think Bill O'Brien's kind of a quirky dude. He's an interesting guy, in-your-face sort of dude. But do you really believe he told Case Keenum when he was cutting Case Keenum, you'll never be better than a third-string quarterback in this league?
Maybe not those specific words, but something to that effect.
Or did he say something to that effect, and Case Keenum took it that way?
Probably the latter.
People
hear what they want to hear.
That's right.
People hear what they and not
That's
just
That's right.
Not just in coach player conversations. People hear what they want to hear all That's throughout right. life.
Sure. And then you when listen, man, I've been fired a lot. It's never fun being fired. You got your story, they got their story. The truth probably lives somewhere in between. When I look back on it, most of the jobs that I've been fired from, I'm like, I get it. For a variety of reasons. I never did anything, destructive. I was never, in jail or something, and, I got fired because of it. I mean, I've been in jail. I just didn't get fired because of it, Right. Mudfest, baby. Go Google that one. Jail. We were, in a waiting room. There's no bars or anything. Dumbest radio stunt of all time. Really, was not funny.
Did you get to keep your shoestrings?
No.
They took your shoestrings from you?
They did.
They put you in a waiting room but took your shoestrings.
Yep. They didn't want us to hang ourselves while I think it was there's a black and white TV. There's about eight of us. They took my shoestrings. I think it was like People's Court was on. How funny, how ironic was that? So they're handing out, like, we even got like a...
That is ironic.
I know. We got like a tuna fish sandwich, and they gave us like a free lunch, and we sat there without shoestrings. How'd you know that shoestring thing?
I have been harassed by the cops a number of times.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
As a young kid in Southern California.
Mm-hmm. They took your shoestrings?
We'll let the past be the past.
How amazing is that you thought of that little detail, and that is actually true.
They take your belt and your shoestrings. Mm-hmm. Of course they do.
Yeah. But there, I wasn't in a waiting area. They think I was going to hang myself, like, in the waiting area? I mean, People's Court wasn't that bad.
Judge Wapner.
I felt like I was in a scene from, like, Alice's Restaurant, you know?
There you go.
All right. Today on the People's Court, we have these eight idiots who have done something stupid in Boulder County. They are sentenced to a half hour of waiting around this waiting room until they're released. Until that time, we're going to hand them tuna fish sandwiches and make them watch People's Court on black and white TV. Hand over your shoelaces. This, today, where you will decide, the people of Boulder, and the court that's open to all. It's the People's Court, Boulder style. What a waste, what a waste, what a waste of taxpayer money. Yeah. Got a $50 fine, had to put library books away for a week. Yeah.
Was this related to you dressing up as a turkey, or was that a different thing?
No, that was a
different... What?
Weren't you a turkey for some radio stunt?
I was.
Around Thanksgiving?
Yes, I was.
All right.
Why you gotta bring up these sort of memories?
I was just trying to tie it together.
Sadly, I've been dressed up multiple times as a turkey on Thanksgiving.
It's coming up this year. It's coming up soon. Will we get another D-Mac appearance in the turkey?
No. The worst one was I was dressed up as a turkey and they... made me go shopping for myself at a grocery store.
They made you go buy a turkey?
Yeah.
As a turkey.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I made sure that one died a slow death on the air. The level of enthusiasm I had for that one was pretty low.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Gotta do what you gotta do, pal.
Yeah.
You're like 24 years old. You're trying to make that, hey, Mom, Dad, aren't you glad you spent all that money at Syracuse?
So your son can be a turkey. Do fun radio stunts.
Yep.
Good for you.
Not really.
Oh, good for you.
It brought you here, man.
Took a long time.
This very moment here where you are beloved on the text line.
Somewhat. You know, later that year that I was dressed as a turkey, I was at Sun Devil Stadium watching you play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think I was right. 25. You were about 24 or so when you played in that Super Bowl. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We lost.
That was my first Super Bowl ever, Phoenix. I don't know how I got a ticket for that one. Sat there. Sun Devil Stadium. I cannot believe you guys played a Super Bowl at Sun Devil Stadium. That is amazing to me.
That's how far the NFL has come.
It is unreal. My son now lives in an apartment literally across the street from Sun Devil Stadium. I mean, you could...
I've seen it.
Throw a tennis ball there. He's
I know
in the
exactly
hub.
Where those apartments are.
Yeah, the University House. It's right there. And I'm sitting there, I was visiting him, and like, he had a Super Bowl here.
I think more than one.
That is amazing. I mean, they've done a lot of work on that place, but a Super Bowl? Nah, you didn't care. You're in the Super Bowl. What'd you care, right?
Stadium didn't matter. I just wanted to win.
I know.
Didn't happen.
No, because...
Neil O'Donnell threw two interceptions to Larry Brown.
Yeah, threw him right in his chest.
Yeah.
I had really high seats. I could see it happening from I don't know if Larry Brown was even covering anybody.
One of them he was. One of them was just thrown to him. One was the receiver's fault. One was Neil's fault.
What did you think when you went back and saw that on tape? Do you have a hard time with it?
It took me 10 years to get over that Super Bowl loss.
Did you talk to Neil O'Donnell?
Have I?
Mm-hmm.
No, not once since that game.
Wow.
Not that I've shut him out. I've just had no reason to seek him out. He was gone. He became the New York Jets quarterback literally like a couple days later. Mm-hmm. It was over.
You think there was something little shady going on?
No, I've heard it for years that he was paid off.
You don't think so, huh?
No.
But that was back in the time that, you know, You guys were making okay money, but not unbelievable money.
No.
I mean, it was definitely a more corruptible time in the NFL.
I think Neil's deal with the Jets may have averaged $5 million a year. I don't think he got all of that. I don't think he completed that contract. Mm-hmm. But he certainly made good money that next year.
You know, Carl Mecklenburg says that there was a player on the Broncos who was on cocaine the morning of a Super Bowl, and that's the reason they lost.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Think about Stanley Wilson with the Bengals.
Yeah.
Caught him smoking rock the night before the game in the hotel.
What about Eugene Robinson with the hooker the night before the Broncos Falcons game?
Yeah.
Like, I'm curious if players can ever...
Barrett Robinson with the Raiders.
Barrett Robinson. Can players ever forgive? Oh, man, I don't know if I could forgive them. I mean, can you forgive a teammate that makes some sort of selfish mistake like that that does end up costing you one way or the other?
I will give you my personal forgiveness.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to blame you for the loss.
Mm.
I know that sounds not a blanket forgiveness, but personally, you obviously have issues. You're bipolar, you're a drug addict, whatever the case may be. I will forgive you personally. But what you did to this team, what you did to this organization.
You think the Falcons teammates can forgive Eugene Robinson?
Mostly.
No.
That's a tricky one. You know, he's like in the community. He does like media, I believe. Like
he is the color guy for the Carolina Panthers broadcast.
Oh, okay.
He's very involved in retired players' issues. I see Eugene all the time.
But what do his ex-teammates think?
Serve on the Harvard Medical Board.
I mean,
together.
You don't care. You weren't on the team. What do you care?
Yeah, Eugene's a great guy. I'm sure his teammates have a little different.
I wonder. I do wonder. Yeah.
It may be like, you know, my respect for the CSU Rams. I wish them all the best. Except for one day.
Mm-hmm.
I love Eugene, except for this one thing he did.
You know, it's kind of forgotten in the lores of the Denver Broncos, even though it's just a couple years ago. There was that guy on practice squad who got busted with his brother with a prostitute.
We're talking about practice.
In Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Golly, does anybody remember that guy's name?
I can't remember his name, but I do remember the story. It was kind of a big deal.
It was, well...
The NFL was doing their prostitution sting. And they had all, like, the law folks looking for those, you know...
I remember being there, and some people were like, oh, what a distraction for the Broncos. And I was like, we didn't even know this guy. Like, the players probably didn't even know his name. He was, like, on practice squad. I'm like, this is definitely not a distraction. I think people wanted to sort of churn that story up. But swear to God, he had barely been on the team. And I think he was from Northern California, and his brother was there. And
Ryan Murphy.
Yes. Now,
Ryan Murphy. And he came back, by the way. He played again for the Broncos after that. Like, they had him back either at OTAs or training camp or something else. Like, he wasn't gone forever, believe it or not, after that.
Well, his brother was the one who I think was found guilty. He was not charged with any crime. Their story about knowing your teammates' names.
Yeah.
I would have never thought it to be true. But when I became a Patriot, Eric Mangini was a defensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And he would always, you know, have somebody stand up and say, name all the DBs. Because at some point, you're here on the football field, you're going to have to yell at somebody about something. And you can't be like, hey, you over there, check cover two, which I thought was a good thing. I thought that was really smart. So I remember it was maybe December, maybe week 13 or 14, and he had one of the defensive linemen stand up and say, name all the linebackers. And I think he got stuck after like two or three. Okay, all the linebackers stand up. So we're all standing up, and this guy could not name all the linebackers.
Wow.
Who he had been working with the entire season.
How embarrassing.
It was very embarrassing. I don't think he was.
What was the function of that drill, by the way, with a coach? Just trying to humiliate dudes?
Eric had a thing where he liked to make you stand up and do stuff. That was always his thing.
Oh, my God.
You know, Chad, who we got Carolina Panthers this week. Who's their guard? Travail Warden.
Oh, what's so a little pop quiz.
Little pop
are
quiz.
You doing your, are you doing your work?
Oh, yes. So
that's kind of, it's pretty fair that you should know your teammates' names.
I thought it was an easy one. Because it was brand new for me in mini camp. So as soon as I saw someone else do that, literally, for the next week, I would walk into the room and I would go, okay, these are all the DBs.
Right.
There's Rodney Harrison, right. Asante Samuel. There's all defensive linemen. Vince Warfork, Richard Seymour.
Would you have to know the guys on practice squad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you had to know everybody. That was, I mean, the Patriots is such a high stress, high accountability environment every single day. Pop quizzes are part of the culture. Being prepared is part of the culture. And even something as seems as silly as knowing all your teammates' names, That's part of the culture.
All right, we have somebody who says they have a story that will blow my socks off.
Okay.
Wow, I can't wait to hear it. Go ahead, Neil. Neil, up, you're on
Neil?
The fan.
Neil O'Donnell? What's up, Neil?
No. It's Neil Southern from Denver, Colorado. How you guys doing, Chad?
Super.
Super.
Super duper.
Hey, Chad, I just wanted to tell you, I'll get back to DMAC, but I went into your shop that was down here, the one you lost to the fire in Centennial.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the most beautiful snake I've ever seen. It was a Burmese python. It was jet black with a yellow stripe down the back, and it was incredible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, but anyway, so DMAC, tried to get on last week, and the story is it was about 85 or 86, and John would know about this one, but the Broncos had a tackle named Gerald Perry, and he was not related to Michael Dean or William.
Okay.
But he was arrested in Aurora with his pants down, impersonating a police officer with a woman in the back seat of a car.
I do remember that story.
Wow.
Do you remember that one, Chad?
Yeah, I think I may have played against
So he pretended he was a cop?
Tackle.
Yeah. He pretended he was a cop to try to get with the woman?
Yeah, I don't know. Impersonating a police officer, and I guess he pulled her over. I don't know what he was in. But he was a promising young tackle.
Dude, that sounds serious, like you go to jail. Did he go to jail?
Oh, I think so, yeah. But he was released, and I think Dan Reeves was the coach then, but you never heard from him again. It was too bad, but it was wild.
Okay, thanks. Well, he should have just shot himself.
Whoa.
I mean, like, Aqib Talib.
Okay.
Not like, I mean, just in the leg.
Right.
Not like fatally or anything.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a funny story. It sounds terrible.
It's an awful story.
So
yes.
Let's not laugh at that. I can go back to talking about Jim Acosta and, the president.
No, that didn't go over very well on the text line.
Well, your comments don't. I bring it up as a lighthearted affair, and then you get all political. I mean, there was a moment today where I really did think the president of the United States and a reporter for CNN were about to come to blows, and like a 23-year-old aide was struggling to take the microphone away from the reporter. Come on.
Jim did say,
are we bipartisan? Isn't that a bipartisan comical moment?
Please, ma'am, as Jim is saying, trying to hold on to the microphone.
I thought the whole thing was preposterous. I think just that...
Hey, we're not supposed to talk about politics.
All right.
Text line.
I was trying to compare it to, like, talking to Goodell. Like, I've asked Goodell some confrontation. I don't know. I mean, maybe when you cover somebody every single day, you got a different relationship. I've had some confrontational things at press conferences, but, the fact that I would just start yelling at the person, I mean, at the end of the day, I am covering you, not the other way around. I think I'm sticking up for the president a little bit here. I mean, ask a question and then I'll answer it. I don't know.
But isn't there some...
I just say, like, yelling. Can you imagine if I just went up to Vance Joseph and said, Vance, are you surprised you weren't dismissed? Well, I'm no. Should you have been dismissed? Really, the team is terrible. You should have... Most coaches would be dismissed in this situation. And there's Patrick Smythe trying to take the microphone. And I'm like, but fans, shouldn't you be fired?
Relax.
Put your mic back together.
I know.
Get control of yourself.
I know.
Relax.
There's Eric Schubert trying to take my microphone away. I've got to ask another question.
Relax.
There's Katie in PR. She's an intern. She went to Penn State last year, and he's trying to grab the microphone. I'm smacking it over Jeff Lakewell's head. I'm just trying to get in there. Then you saw something you would never see in the Broncos press room. Like, a journalist sticking up for another journalist. Never would happen in the Broncos press room.
Never?
No, we just stab each other in the back constantly. It's just...
We
try to separate ourselves from anybody who's getting the evil eye. You know, everybody, I'm not with him.
If Billy Moose had said something...
Billy who?
Moose. Muse.
Billy Muse.
If Billy Muse had said something derogatory towards Nikki, Wouldn't you feel compelled to defend a fellow reporter?
Yeah. Well, I would, but nobody else would.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. You would. I appreciate that about you.
I would think it inside. I should. Next time that happens.
Not right. That the press should be some kind of protected class, but the institution of the press is an important part of it.
When Mark Kicking was like screaming at me in front of like 15 members of the press, not one person like stepped in to say anything at any point.
That's not cool.
No kidding.
That's not cool at all.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Away from you. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Going through changes. I'm going through changes. In my life.
Let's go out to Argus Man. He's a security guy. Hello, Argus Man. What's happening?
Yes, I can tell you many, many stories, but there is definitely one washing machine at a hotel that I would not ever want to use because the Bronco player wouldn't rent a room to enjoy the evening life of females.
Okay. Maybe we should just play that song again because that was kind of cool. I like that song. I don't even know what that dude was. Was he even referring? He's saying there's a Broncos player that used a washing machine for something with a lady?
Somehow, yes. A woman, a Bronco player, and a washing machine. They all walk into a bar.
And he wouldn't use that washing machine.
No, it's soiled.
Maybe I'll just move my papers around a little bit more.
Why don't you bang on your microphone a little bit more?
No, I'm done with that bit. Thank God I went to broadcasting school. D-Mac, they would never hand you the mic because you ask the best questions that make people so uncomfortable. The questions that matter, but no one wants to answer. Well, thank you. I like that. Here's another text. They didn't say anything because they don't like you. Okay. D-Mac, you pathetic Trump-supporting racist. Really? All right. That's the text of the week. All right. It goes on. Trump supporting races. How can you defend that, I guess, Trump? Acosta didn't even get to, you know what? I'm not going there.
No.
I was just trying to have some fun. See, that sadly is where we are in this country. Even when you just had to have some fun with something that is funny. You know, you can't go there. You can't even have a little fun.
They went from humor to now you're a Nazi.
I mean, if you, I'm really not a Nazi.
Dilly dilly.
I promise you, I'm not a Nazi.
You're just Richard Dreyfuss clone. It's working well for you.
I know. You know, somebody actually sent me a picture of Richard Dreyfuss in Jaws, and I couldn't turn it down. I was like, well.
Your glasses are square. His were round.
Yeah, other than that, it's pretty close.
It's dang close.
Yeah, the beard has gone to another level, hasn't it? Yeah.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Yep. Like, at first, I was, like, all insulted by the comparison, and then somebody sent me a picture, and I was like, oh.
Richard Dreyfuss is a very well-established, cool actor.
Yeah, not so. Yeah. Yeah. Just not a cool guy.
Really?
Yeah, nobody wants to look like, you know, Tom Kite or Richard Dreyfuss.
I disagree. It's working for you.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. I know. I know. I know all the negatives.
I'm not giving any negatives.
There's no negatives. I'm
telling you, like an award-winning actor.
Thanks, Chad.
There you go. And it was meant in a most positive light. fact that you turned into some kind of negative. That's weird, man.
I'm sorry I brought up anything to do with something that seemed to be humorous that had anything to do with politics. Sorry.
People are saying
I'll never do it again.
No.
I really wasn't trying to take one side or another. I was laughing.
Yeah.
No.
But you can't do that, huh?
Well, no, because you have to view...
I've been called now a Trump-loving racist.
You have to view each interaction based on your particular tribe.
Okay. All right. Forget it.
Yes, you can!
No, I'm not gonna. I'm done with that ever again. Nothing humorous can ever happen in the world of politics ever again.
Should we talk about the Broncos like the bye or something?
No.
I heard some people like the Broncos should be... like studying film over the bye week.
Some people. Person on this station.
Who was saying that?
Michael Pritchard, my former Buff teammate.
Seriously?
I was completely surprised.
A player? Pritch said that?
He talked about they need to be here during the bye week and they need to be working.
What?
That's what I said. What?
Wait a second. First of all, it's mandated by the NFLPA.
You got to get 5 days in a row off.
Yeah, so I guess we get over that. So they should be, what, meeting on their own? Everybody should just be, like, rallying at Regis High School or something?
They should be in town, coming in and watching tape and working.
Why?
Because they get plenty of time off in the off season.
Oh, my God, Pritch. Did he really say that? Is that how he really felt?
I may be paraphrasing a bit, but that's essentially in a nutshell what he said.
I mean, they should go. They should put their feet in the sand.
No, I don't think you should do all that.
Just relax.
You should not be getting on a plane and going to Cancun. Now's not the time for that.
Why not?
Relax. Here in town, go to your hometown. Go to your high school football games.
That could be more exhausting than going to Cancun. You go to Cancun or whatever, you're just doing nothing. You're just chilling. You go to your high school, you get all sorts of trouble when you go back to your high school. Akeem Tlaib got shot. He was hanging out with high school friends.
At a strip club at 3 a.m.
Well, what do you do with your high school friends?
I don't do that at 3 a.m.
You got some boring high school friends.
What do you do when you go to Cancun? You just sit at the beach with...
That's it.
You got $10 million in your pocket. You're a professional athlete. You're walking down there on the street.
I don't know. What do these guys do, Chad?
With 16 gold chains on.
I don't know. What do you do?
And you walk by the club, you go, oh, no.
You're 27.
I had my feet in the sand earlier. I'm going to go to the room.
All right, I got you. That's just what I would do. I feel you. You're 27 years old. You've got more money than you ever thought you'd have.
The bye week is a chance to rest. The bye week is not a time to go on vacation.
So what? You just hang out and go to Park Meadows Mall, get some steps in, and go see, like, Bohemian Rhapsody at noon on the IMAX?
You sleep in more than just on a Tuesday. You know, maybe you want to catch up on your golf game. Maybe there's some, you know, stuff you want to do with your wife or kids.
That's what you do when you're 27 and cash is flowing out of your pockets and you can't control it? Really? You don't hop on a plane?
Yeah, and go home, wherever your home is. You haven't been there in 3 months.
Pritch wants him to watch tape?
He does.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, he played the game I didn't, so.
Well, you know, I know how I would answer that. So there's no point in guessing that. And, you know, I'm not always going to be on the side of Al, but in this case, yes, the bye week is your time to get away. Take some time off. Not time for a vacation, but it's time to get away, recharge your batteries a bit for the stretch run. That's what the bye week is for. That's how it should be used.
I agree. Don't watch film. Of what?
Now, some guys are going to come in and watch film. Some guys, those guys, they're going to be in the facility every single day.
If you get some sort of workout or rehab routine, you should certainly stick to it. But in terms of, what are we doing? We're getting ready for what, the Chargers?
Got the Chargers, and then the Steelers.
What, the week, the regular week that you have once you get back is not going to be good enough?
Basically, Pritch is saying, 3-6, you've got, this is not the time for you to get away. This is time for you to double down on your efforts, to dig deeper.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
But part of doubling down your efforts is getting some rest so you can focus and double down with your efforts.
So this wasn't a ding-dong like Cecil saying it. This was Pritch. I love Cecil, though. He's not a ding-dong. This wasn't, khaki pants Mike Evans taking him to the woodshed. This was Pritch.
This was Pritch, you know, top 10 pick in the draft?
Yeah, he's a first-round guy.
Yeah.
High first-round guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, before
is that what Pritch did on his bye weeks?
I don't know. I think Pritch always, well, See, he may have went home, which is Vegas, which is like a vacation, which is like a club.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for him to say, well, just go home.
Yeah, if your home's the Strip. Go home. It's, yeah, your home's not Fort Wayne, Pritch. It's the Golden Nugget. Go home.
Enjoy the bye.
Yeah, don't you go
get
home.
Get away.
See a show when you go home.
Watch some college football. Watch some NFL football.
Sure.
Do all that stuff. Now, the coaches, they should be here not till midnight, but they should be there every day with some specific tasks on doing some self-scouting. What have we been poor at? What have we been good at? What are our tendencies? What do other teams, can they follow our tendencies? How do we break those tendencies here in the last half of the season? They need to be doing some work as well, clearly.
I only have one suggestion for the coaching staff in Vance, but I'm being serious about it.
You haven't been serious all day, so give me your one serious thing.
I know, I've been kind of loose.
Give it to me.
I'll tell you after the break.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I got my toes in the water, ass in the sand, not a worry in the world, a cold beer in my hand. Life is good today. Life is good today. Well, a plane touched down just about 3 o'clock.
What we got going on here tonight? Nuggets. Good luck to the Nuggets, Chad.
Yeah!
And 19-1. Well, they're 9-1. And if they win tonight, they'll go 10-1, which will tie their record between in the 76-77 season at 10-1 for their best start ever. So good luck to the Nuggets on that. Jamal Murray going for 50.
I was having a lot of fun. I think my emotion took over, as it normally does when I get going like that. You know, no disrespect to the Boston organization, the Boston fans for the last shot. I just had in my mind I was going for 50, and I think everybody kind of understood that's what I was trying to do. I really wasn't meaning it, no disrespect. And,
well, of course not, Jamal. Kyrie Irving, lighten up, dude. By the way, Kyrie Irving got whacked $25,000 for throwing that ball in the stands. That's when you know you have too much money, when you're okay taking a $25,000 fine for being a crybaby.
Wow.
What a crybaby, by the way. Is Uncle Drew a crybaby like that, too? Or is that just Kyrie Irving?
Both parts of his character.
Yeah. Avs taking on the Predators at Pepsi. That is going to be awesome. The Avs have given up, I think, 13 goals in the past two games. We can't. No. That's got to stop.
Not sustainable.
But at least you're playing a team like the Predators who aren't very good. Oh, wait, they're 11-3. But it should be a packed house tonight at Pepsi Center. That's great. We have news that DJ LeMahieu was named Wilson Defensive Player of the Year at second base for the Rockies. Fantastic. I don't think there's any way DJ LeMahieu returns here with the Rockies next year.
Why is that?
I think he's going to be able, he's a free agent for the first time, and I think he's just going to back up the Brinks truck, justifiably so. Do you hear the deal that supposedly Bryce Harper turned down?
Like, I knew he turned down the deal, but what was the offer?
It was like 10 years, $300 million.
What?
Good for him. Good for him.
Can you, listen, think about this. You're sitting there in your car. Can you imagine, just pause for a second, can you imagine turning down a deal to play baseball for $100 million for 10 years, $30 million,
$300 million.
Is this 300?
Yes,
300 for 10 years. Yeah, sorry,
$30 million a year.
$30 million a year to play baseball. Like, I think I can do better.
He can. That's the thing. He can and he will.
Stunning.
So we were just talking in the break about a childhood friend of mine who's debating whether his son should go out in the draft early or stay one more year in college football. So Bryce Harper is betting on himself that he'll get a better offer versus taking the money and being like, oh, it's great. There's a better offer out there. This kid who has a chance to be maybe somewhere in second through fourth round also has a chance to be a first rounder next year. Do you bet on yourself or do you take the easy money?
Will you please tell David Shaw I said hi?
I certainly will.
Make sure he knows who I am.
I'm going to bring a picture of Richard Dreyfuss just so he has reference.
I'm going to Sport Clips tomorrow. It's all going to go. It's going to go. Thank you, Chad, for being here today. I always love seeing you.
Good to see you, man.
And enjoy your time in Palo Alto. Have a great call. Thank you, Kyle. Great job.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And don't take things too seriously. It's just sports. All right?
And some politics, Casey.
Relax.
Relax.